This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. My name is Junaid Jasat and it's time for Al Mashriq. Being Thursday morning, inshallah Aziz, we will be hosting our esteemed guest on the line, Brother Idris Khamisa, and inshallah Aziz, speaking to him about many social issues and things that we can take lesson from and better our lives with, inshallah Aziz. It is going to be just after the short break to pay some bills, and then we'll be speaking to Idris Khamisa. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Pay and Save Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Come visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design, unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and jewels from the most talented creators of Fashion 5, Pelican Avenue, Lanesia. Contact us on 011-852-4910. Pay and Save, usually unusual fabrics.
Workshop on wealth purification, zakah, a pillar of Islam, virtues of zakah and harms of not paying zakah, Molana Bilal Qasim. Types of charity, Mufti Yusuf Musaji. Conditions of zakah and zakatable items, Mufti Yusuf Musaji. Recipients and non-recipients of zakah, Molana Bilal Qasim. Nisab and how to calculate zakah, Mufti M.Y. Minty. Q&A, panel of ulama, Friday, 20th June 2014 after Isha Salah at Masjidus Salam, Middleburg. This program is brought to you by Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, Dawah Wal Irshad, 33 Cocoa Avenue, Lanesia, Extension
1-0-1-852-463-1. فأين عهد الحواسم؟ نسوا بأننا أبات ندود دود القشاع. نحن الذين وطئنا بالخيل عرش الأعاجم. بالخيل عرش الأعاجم.
المظالم حتى الأراذيل ساموا رسول أهل العزائم. القول قول الصوارم كي تسترد المظالم حتى الأراذيل ساموا رسول أهل العزائم.
نحن الذين بنينا حصوننا من جماجم. سقنا عليلات كسرى بالسوط فوق الغنائم. رسولنا من صنعنا بناة مجد أكارم. رسولنا شمس حق أضاء وجه العوالم. أضاء وجه العوالم.
المظالم حتى الأراذيل ساموا رسول أهل العزائم. القول قول الصوارم كي تسترد المظالم حتى الأراذيل ساموا رسول أهل العزائم.
أنار مشكاة ليل من الضلالات قاتم. وصاغ من بعض قوم جيلا مع الفجر قادم. فحطموا رأس يا خالق الإنسان.
When the sun rises, it rises for everyone. Join Molana Junaid Jasat on Al Mashriq, Monday to Thursday between 11 and 12 p.m. Live out of Ermelo, Mpumalanga, the place where the sun rises. Regular contributions by Molana Yahya Bam, Molana Ahmed Chohan, and Idris Khamisa.
Twelve minutes after 11. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And a very warm welcome to our guest on the line with us, who's going to be with us for a few fleeting moments, Brother Idris Khamisa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping, Idris? Bye.
Alhamdulillah. Very good. Cold here, you know, in Johannesburg, but alhamdulillah.
And you are in Joburg, busy with a workshop.
Yeah, I know. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing a workshop for Sedgers, you know, for the staff here in Ferenachim, you know.
Okay.
So they are in a workshop situation now. Right. So I've got 15 minutes with you, alhamdulillah.
Okay, shukr, alhamdulillah. At least in these 15 minutes, although a little, perhaps we can cover a lot. What would you like to touch on?
Anything you want, whatever in your heart, you can talk about some of the challenges we are facing and the month of Ramadan coming here and what I think families should do, inshallah. It's very critical, you know.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the month of Ramadan coming up in very few days, alhamdulillah, we find it an opportunity of cleansing ourselves. We find it an opportunity of growing as humans and becoming better, developing different traits, different qualities. And alhamdulillah, it's an overall positive period for us as Muslims. And so the effect of that should be rubbing off on our families as well.
So inshallah, that should happen. But, you know, I do like to talk about the past, but it's very sad. Even issues like, you know, marital issues, some people are not prepared to wait for the month of Ramadan to complete, and they want to, you know, institute divorce proceedings and all of that. And really, you know, we are living at a time, always speak about instant gratification. Our kids grow up with immediate solutions. They get whatever they want, whenever they want, and they often find it difficult to negotiate sometimes in the relationships within the marriage situation. They find it hard to forgive, the heart to persevere. And this is fundamentally, in fact, I think wherever you go, I mean, I was at the MC for a wedding last week, and you listen to people there, and they all tell you the same story, you know, that we have spoiled our kids, and our kids today are very impatient, number one. And secondly, they also, you know, said, one of them mentioned this, and it's so true, he said, some of the other, that we have lost our innocence, you know, that the notion that, you know, once you become adults, that life is so serious, we didn't have time to laugh, to smile. And I came across a very interesting statistic. They say on average, every child laughs for about 400 times a day, but then every adult on average only laughs for 15 times a day. Now, the point is, naturally, we don't expect to laugh like kids, you know, in that way. But it also says something about the way we look at things, the way we look at life. And I think the kind of joy that is supposed to be we behold in our homes seems to be not there. So I think, so these are a whole range of things. And yes, it's true, the month of Ramadan is coming. It's a time of purification, of cleansing, getting closer to Allah. Allah gives us these opportunities all the time to come closer to Him. And my dua is, inshallah, that this Ramadan must be the best ever that people ever had, and the subsequent Ramadan must be an improvement on this Ramadan, you know.
Mm-hmm. Focusing a little bit on our youth and our children during this month of Ramadan, and maybe using this opportunity of Ramadan of being a little distant from our screens and more focused on family, focused on our ibadah, focused on our children, maybe we can use this month of Ramadan also to bond and to grow our family ties.
No, absolutely. And one of the things that I would recommend, as you were speaking, Allah is so merciful, thought struck me, that, you know, today with so many masajids available here, that every person is going to his own mosque where he's comfortable. But I would like to believe, especially when we are often distant from our children, no matter they are young adults, that perhaps we should go to the same mosque for Salah, you know. Imagine driving your father, going with him to the mosque, and perhaps coming back and talking about the Taraweeh, talking about the experience, and talking about perhaps some of the pearls of wisdom shared by the Maulana or the Imam. I think that is really, really bonding time, you know. We seem to live under the same roof, but we seem to live individual lives. And it's an opportune time for us to refocus, as you rightly indicated, become distant from the screen and perhaps from social media, and focus on our spiritual upliftment, our development. Because, you know, we human beings, we only understand things that when you go through some kind of trauma in terms of our health or wealth, then suddenly we begin to appreciate Allah, we turn to Him, we make promises to Him. And really, nothing is more beautiful in the eyes of Allah that when the ummah, when at the time of prosperity, you think about him, you know, not only the time of adversity, and you think about him, you show gratitude, and this is something that we need to encourage, you know.
This gratitude that we show to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the time of prosperity, in the time of ease that Allah ta'ala has blessed us with, certainly in the month of Ramadan, as the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promises, that our rizq, our sustenance is increased in the month of Ramadan, and we should be all the more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us so much, and we have so much on our dastarkhan and our table, and we have to be grateful to Allah ta'ala, and also coming to the important lesson of sharing and caring for the poor.
No, absolutely. And I think this is critical. I think the pervasive message is that we must understand that rozi comes from Allah. It's not through our smartness. Of course, we have to go out and make the effort. But I think sometimes we make so much of effort, we get the benefits of the effort, that we think that tomorrow is another day, but we are whole night thinking about the tomorrow, but we don't live in the present. And I think it's very important to understand that the resources of Allah, they're never exhausting, they're never ending, they're infinite resources. And I think it's important to create a kind of balance in our life, that the balance must be such that we spend adequate time in our prayer. And the month of Ramadan, the prayer must be increased. We spend adequate time with our families, and none of them feel a sense of deprivation. We spend adequate time with people that are close to us, our extended family, and we spend adequate time really in terms of our spiritual upliftment and development, because, you know, when you attain an age, you know, you realize that every day has become a bonus. How often you've heard of people that were young married couples, suddenly, you know, they're afflicted with the cancer, and we find that, you know, the whole atmosphere at home changes. So I think it's very, very critical. You know, it's, you know, and every day we lose a day of Ramadan, it should move us to tears. You know, I think one of the biggest ironies, and I've come across this, there are more people who seek the moon of Eid than the seeking the moon of Ramadan. Again, it shows you also, you know, almost an inversion in our values. I'm not suggesting we ought not to look for the Eid moon, but the same kind of vigor and enthusiasm, we need to look for the moon for Ramadan, you know.
Yes, because this Ramadan brings with it great blessings, and obviously, together with that, the month of Ramadan brings with it an opportunity for us, an open door opportunity for us to really grow and for us to really become something completely different, something that we would normally think unachievable, but in the month of Ramadan we can achieve it. And I think this is an important character trait for us to have this great, you know, this drive to be able to achieve what we are not normally able to achieve.
Absolutely, and we need to do that. And I think more than that, you know, I mean, besides that, it's such a valid and pertinent point, is to confront our true selves. I think all of us know our shortcomings. There are some shortcomings that are known to our families, not known to our society. But there are things that we do, these are dark side in many of us, and only Allah knows. And I think there must be this kind of commitment, diligence, and dedication to ensure that that becomes a thing of the past, you know, a kind of tazkiyah or spiritual purification, something that we need to do. And I think what is fundamental is, it's not about the image that we have in society, the persona we have. It's about being authentic and genuine. So the month of Ramadan is coming. May Allah give us the life, inshallah, to see it. And most importantly for us to take it with the seriousness it deserves. And I don't think there are many people, you know, who truly understand the import of this month, the value of this month, the intrinsic and extrinsic value of this month, you know.
Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and understanding. It is by coming to the aspect of marriage and the issues that you have been dealing with, certainly some lessons for us there this week.
Yes, you know, alhamdulillah, you know what, what is worrying, you know, is, and may Allah forgive everyone, we're not here to judge people, is, you know, at one time, many people are flirting through the cell phones and whatnot, and it goes to another level when these couples who are married, you know, meet and have a physical relationship, you know. So they it's gone to that level. And I think also what is also critical is that when a woman or man is guilty of that relationship of infidelity, I can understand when one of them really wants to know exactly what has happened and how this has happened. And we find that often the man or the woman, depending who's the perpetrator, get very, very impatient with that, and they need to understand that, you know. And I think what's important is this, that, you know, you do not stop doing something purely because you got caught. I think the greater thing must be that you understand the enormity of what you have done, the seriousness of it all. And I think that people do make mistakes, and I think this is one thing has become a scourge in our community now, that infidelity has become almost like a norm. And not only that, it's becoming physical, and you find it's also an emotional commitment. And kids growing up in the family, they become dysfunctional. So that has been one of the recurring issues I'm dealing with. The other issue is the whole issue, and I tell this to people, you know, please look after your beloved wife and vice versa. And otherwise, what happens if we do not do that? Then if there is any instituting divorce proceedings, then this can become very, very bitter, acrimonious. It can be financially, very, very damaging. So I think we need to do that. We need to look after our spouses, and we should not be seduced by what's happening around us. The third thing that is always a recurring issue is the issue about parenting and the way of bringing up our children. And really, I've seen it in many homes that how some parents are destroying the kids, you know, by giving them whatever they want, whenever they want. And that kind of thing creates a very jaundiced view about life, because life is not about all of those things. I think the best father or mother is a person not only gives children things, but does do things with them and empower them right kind of attitude and values, you know.
So this marriage bond that we have obviously has far-reaching implications in terms of our personal relationship, the children, their development, extended family, and all the rest that goes along with it. Now, in this month of Ramadan that is coming up, how can we use this month of restraint, this month of control, this month of sabr to enhance our marriages?
Yeah, in fact, I'll just end it off with this, Molna. I got to go, right? Okay. I'll just say this to you, that, you know, I think there are many people who've been guilty of adultery relationships or infidelity. It's unbeknown to their spouse. It's the month of Ramadan. You've got a very serious time to reflect on this and to desist from contacting the other individual and saying goodbye to it and turning to Allah. And it's not about waiting for Ramadan to go and then you rekindle your passion and love. And that's something unacceptable. I think each one of us needs to do that. We need to create a culture at home when there is a meaningful routine where we do things, support our wives in whatever they do. And because they also need to pray, they also need to develop themselves spiritually. But some of them, sadly, spend most of the time in the kitchen. May Allah also bless them for that. And I think it's important for our children also to become part of a united family, so that inshallah that we can leave a meaningful legacy. And I want to take this opportunity wishing the director of Radio Islam and others involved, Mona Rawat, and your good self and other presenters and the dear listeners of Radio Islam from throughout the world, may all of you have a spiritually uplifting Ramadan. Do remember my parents in your prayers, remember the Ummah, and remember us, that we continue inshallah to do things with the class, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, it is by for your time. We'll speak next week, inshallah.
Inshallah. Allah bless you. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just gone 27 minutes after 11. That was our guest, Idris Khamisa, speaking to us, and he's signing off right now. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with our program in just a few minutes. Stay tuned to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
The Pick and Pay price drop is back. Stay in this winter with great savings. Pick and Pay or Douglasdale. Fresh milk, assorted sachets, 1 litre, 7.80. Brands may vary from store to store. Tastic long grain parboil rice, 2 kg, 19.90. Pick and Pay extra virgin olive oil, 1 litre, 69 rand. Pick and Pay pure sunflower oil, 2 litre, 27.90. Ola rich and creamy ice cream assorted, 2 litre, 35.90. Save even more. Visit the kiosk and print your Smart Shopper vouchers. Only at Pick and Pay. Always there for you. Prices valid 19 to 22 June. Prices apply to Gauteng stores only.
Think you can write a winning story in less than 1,500 words? Have a flair for writing? Radio Islam launches its Ramadan 2014 Short Stories Writing Competition for listeners 16 years and above. Visit www.radioislam.org.za for competition details and rules. Entries must reach rishortstories@gmail.com by no later than 29 June 2014. Terms and conditions apply. Keep calm and get writing. Radio Islam Short Story Writing Competition, Ramadan
2014. میراج کا دولہا کون بنا جبریل امی سے پوچھو صدرات بھی آگے کون گیا جبریل امی سے پوچھو کیا ہے توقیر شاہ امم کیا ہے توقیر
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and we have bade farewell to our guest Idris Khamisa, but nevertheless we will continue on our discussion. I want to speak about in this half hour a letter that is called Risalatu Sharh Sadr. Risalatu Sharh Sadr. It is a letter that was prepared. It's a small work written by the esteemed Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. He authored the great Ihya'u Ulum al-Din, Ihya'u al-Ulum, as it is known. And this is one very short letter, short work of Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. And inshallah, as he's giving you a brief gist about this letter, the phrase Sharh al-Sadr is a common Arabic expression, and this phrase is used to refer to a sort of spiritual expansion of the heart or chest, and this then gives rise to inner illumination, tranquility, and relief from anxiety and worry. And it's a phrase that is used in a number of places in the Quran Kareem. When going to face Fir'aun and convey the message to him, Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi shrah li sadri, O Allah, expand for me my chest. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, make my task easy for me. وَأَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, O Allah, remove the knot from my tongue so they understand what I say. And with regards to reminding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of his great blessings, Allah ta'ala said, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, have you not expanded for you your chest? And Imam As-Sabuni rahimahullah, in explaining this verse, he says, the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was expanded with true guidance, faith, and the light of the Quran. Ibn Kathir states that the phrase sharh al-sadr means, we have filled your chest with light and made it expansive and unconfined. And just as Allah Ta'ala has made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest expansive, he has made his shara', that is the law, generous, tolerant, easy, and without difficulty or narrowness. And Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah entitled this letter sharh al-sadr because this letter is actually in regards to preparing for death, preparation for death. And so, properly preparing for death is a means of attaining spiritual expansion, illumination and comfort. And we need to all become among those. May Allah Ta'ala make us among those who experience that state and who ready and beautify themselves properly for the journey to meet the divine presence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, in this letter he starts off, he says, I begin with the name of Allah, most merciful, most loving. We rely on Allah and seek help from Allah alone. All praise is due to Allah, and may blessings be upon the messenger of Allah, Muhammad, his family, and his companions, one and all. And then he carries on, he starts off with a verse of the Qur'an al-Kareem, where he says, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. It is one whose chest Allah has opened to Islam so that he has received light from his Lord, no better than one who is hard-hearted. That means that the one whose chest has been opened from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and filled with nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much better. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about sharh al-sadr and about the opening expansion of the chest, and he said, it is a light. It is a light cast into the heart by which the chest is opened and expanded. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, is there a way of recognizing a person who possesses that light? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, yes. Those people can be recognized by their indifference towards the abode of delusions. Their indifference towards the abode of delusions, that is the life of this world. They are indifferent towards the life of this world. Their constant turning towards the abode of eternity. They don't turn towards this world, they turn always to the akhirah and their preparation for death before it arrives. Subhanallah. Three qualities Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has outlined as qualities of a person whose heart has been opened, expanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. And so that person is upon light that he has received from his Rabb tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indifference towards the abode of delusions, that means indifference towards this world. Constant turning towards the abode of eternity, that is the hereafter, and preparation for death before it arrives. That is the quality of that person. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then asked, how does one prepare for death? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those of you who remember it the most are the best prepared for it. Those of you who remember it the most are the best prepared for it. That is, the more you remember death, the more you will prepare for death. The more you think of your demise, the more you think of your return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the more you will be prepared for your return to Allah ta'ala. And he says, then you may have asked, may Allah grant you success about the readiness for death and the conditions and means of attaining that spiritual state. When is a servant of Allah ready for death? What should one strive to achieve so that he or she is fully prepared for this path? I'm reading this letter that Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah has prepared, called Risalat Sharh al-Sadr, the letter of expansion of the heart, of the chest, which is actually a letter in preparation for death. And he says that, know that death is an expression used for the journey from this world to the divine presence. For to Allah is the ultimate return. Anyone traveling to a royal court is in need of three things for his journey. Anyone traveling to the royal court needs three things for the journey. One, a severing of the ties that keep him from advancing. Number two, preparation of provisions for the road. And three, an acceptable gift for the king to present to him and by which to attain his pleasure. So three things. You're going to a king, you're going to visit a king, you're going to visit somebody. You need to prepare three things. Have three things ready for the journey. One, sever the ties that keep you from advancing. Number two, preparation of provisions for the road. And number three, an acceptable gift for the king, so you can give it to him and he can be pleased with you. This is what Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah prepares his explanation with. And then he says that similarly, the traveler journeying to the divine presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in need of three things: preparation of provisions, cutting of ties, and offering a gift. Now the traveler's provision, his provision refers to a deep consciousness of Allah that is described as taqwa. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Take provision with you. For the journey, the best of provision is taqwa. The best of provision is taqwa. And the cutting of ties means that we sever the heart, or the severing of the heart from the pleasures of this world. This was what was meant by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, indifference towards the abode of delusions. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's explanation, tying up with cutting of ties, it means that you are severing of the heart from the pleasures of this world. And then the gift to be presented to the king is love. That is the simple gift we present to the king, the gift of love. And the origin of this love is in true ma'rifah, true recognition of Allah, and in iman, in true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what gift do we present to the king? Love. Where do you find this love? In recognition of Allah and in iman. Now we go into further detail in these three particular points. One, cutting ties. Second, taking provision. And third, presenting a gift. With regards to provisions for the road, there is the first aspect, which is the provisions for the road that we are going to be traveling on. You need to take something with you to eat, some, as we name, as we term it, patkos, or something that you need to eat. There is no provision for the journey to the hereafter except taqwa. Now, taqwa means, what is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa means obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoiding that which Allah has prohibited to that extent that one fulfills all of Allah's commandments and remains far removed from all His prohibitions. That is taqwa. Taqwa means that you fulfill and you obey the commands of Allah and you avoid those things that Allah prohibited to that extent that you fulfill all of Allah's commands and you remain very far removed from all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And if one has always done so, always lived a life of taqwa, then this is the type of excellence and inner strength that is without equal. But if a person has some deficiencies with regards to taqwa, if they have some shortcomings, some shortfalls, their taqwa is not up to that level, then they will not be ready for the hereafter, except by rectifying these shortfalls, these deficiencies. And this can be done in many different ways. First way is that we need to analyze and reflect on the state that we are in from when we first reached the age of bulugh, becoming baligh, becoming mature, and reflect on our state from that time. And then we must make ourselves busy with making up for whatever has transpired in our lives. And we need to correct those matters in which we had erred, in which we had made mistakes, in which we had done some wrong. And in regards to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should begin with the fundamental pillars of Islam: salah, zakah, fasting, hajj. If there is any shortcoming in that, then we need to make up for that. Make up qada umri in our salah. Make up qada for the fasting that we missed. Zakat, work out what had to be paid over the years. Pay that. Hajj, if we have not done, we have to make it and make sure as long as we have the means. And we should continue doing so until we are certain that there are no obligations that remain upon us. Prohibitions, they are of two types. The first type is entirely related to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to the rights of people. Fornication, drinking alcohol, listening to musical instruments, engaging in forbidden acts, disobeying a prohibition of this type can be remedied. You can remedy it, you sincerely make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you feel intense regret for the sin, and you seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you make a promise that you will never return to that sin again. And, sincere repentance and tawbah is a remedy for every type of sin. Even a person who makes tawbah is like one who has not sinned at all. This comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By making tawbah, it is counted as if we have not sinned at all. And the second type of prohibition is with relation to the rights of servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wrong someone in terms of wealth or reputation. This can be rectified by giving the oppressed person back whatever was due to him, or we should seek to do this in all of our dealings with others, and we should scrutinize our personal relationships carefully. Make sure that you're not unjust with any individual, and we should seek to liberate ourselves from the rights of others upon us. If we have hurt or harmed somebody, then, replace whatever wrong we have done, make amends for what we have done, for backbiting, for speaking ill of others, ask for forgiveness, and make dua of forgiveness for those people as well. And this should be, then we should be prepared, inshallah, by asking for forgiveness, making dua for forgiveness for others, and asking for forgiveness for others as well. Inshallah, we'll be prepared to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, if the oppressed person has passed away before we have actually asked for forgiveness, or they become otherwise unreachable, then we should increase in good deeds. And, we should increase to that amount that we believe that would be sufficient for the oppressed person if we went to that person on the day of Qiyamah. And then know that sufficient provisions for this journey is in obeying Allah's commands, abstaining from His prohibitions, striving to perform numerous extra good deeds. And good deeds are a means of elevating our spiritual rank, and the good deeds that we do, the more we do, the more Allah will elevate our rank in the Akhirah. So that is the first aspect of provisions for the road. And then inshallah the other two aspects, we'll discuss it just after the break, severing the ties that prevent us from advancing and presenting a gift to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Piston Road, Devlin.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo estaba cero para mí, es aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Perez Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Perez Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
At Amina's Wonder Spice, we know that many of you already enjoy the pleasure of cooking with our 100% pure ginger and garlic. Our unique masala paste, like chicken tikka, tandoori and peri peri braai, etc., have created a new dimension and variety to your dishes. Our ready-mixed, quality products are appreciated by most butchers and housewives. Amina's Wonder Spice have cooled down the tempers of many husbands at mealtimes with quality spice and excellent taste. Available throughout South Africa, visit us at our new retail store at 71 Donkin Road, Sekar Lake, Durban. Contact us on 031 577 5023.
Another beautiful day in this world, mashallah. I met a brother in the street, and I greet him with a smile. He said to me, Shukr, my brother, you have made my day. I said to him that all praise is due to the one Allah. So hold my hand, let's greet once again. To strengthen the Ummah of Muhammad Mustafa. So I go to mosque every Friday, meet the brothers there. And I'm so proud to see this big gathering in this mosque.
We are discussing Imam Al-Ghazali's Rahimahullah's letter, Sharh Risala to Sharh Sadr, a letter on preparation for death. He mentioned three things. He mentioned that when you're going to visit the king, you have to take three things with you. The first is that you have to take provisions for your journey. Second, you have to cut ties that are holding you back. And third, you have to take a gift for the king. So we spoke about provisions for the journey. The best provision is taqwa, obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Explained what is taqwa. Second is cutting off of ties. A traveler may be tied down by his or her debtors as if they were holding on to the very tails of his clothing and preventing him from moving towards his destination. In order to advance on this journey, the traveler must free himself from them and break all ties with them. Similarly, the attachments that prevent one from journeying towards the hereafter are numerous. Yet all of them are connected to the love of this world, the longing for this world, inclination to the lower self, or inclination of the lower self towards the world. And a person who has no beloved in this world is completely ready for death. Person who loves someone in this world but finds that the love of Allah is stronger, more intense in his heart, that person is also ready. So his level is not like one who doesn't have any lovers in this world. And his sign that a servant has true love for Allah Ta'ala is that he or she does not have any feelings of dislike towards death. When a person truly loves Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, there is no feelings in his heart that he dislikes death. No matter when the death may come, that person is ready and embracing of death. And if a person has aversion to death, this is a sign that this world and the status that we have in this world is more beloved to us than meeting Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter. And a person who dislikes death because he has not yet rectified the wrongs that he has committed against others or overcome weaknesses that he has within himself, this person will be excused for disliking death, but he cannot be considered ready for the journey ahead, the journey of death. And a person who is truly ready for death would have already exerted himself in these matters and would not have left any task undone that would distract and busy his heart at the time when death is supposed to overtake him. And by disconnecting our hearts from the life of this world, this can never be fully achieved unless we also possess a balanced character and a sound and upright heart. Now this occurs by purifying the heart from ostentation, envy, hatred, arrogance, and all of the negative qualities that Imam Al-Ghazali says that we have mentioned in our work, Al-Muhlikat, the third section of Ihya Ulumuddin. And these are the ailments of the heart that must be cured, for an ill person cannot be prepared to journey because he is spiritually sick and they cannot be prepared to journey. It's also, Imam Al-Ghazali says, it's not a requirement that the servant be entirely free of negative qualities. But the requirement is that they remain weak inside us and not intensified by actions or words that are contrary to the path of taqwa. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the child of Adam alayhi salam will never be safe from three things: envy, fearing evil omens, and having bad opinions of others. I will inform you of a means of escaping from them. If you feel envious towards someone, do not seek to attain what he or she has. If you observe an omen said to be evil, continue without any change in your behavior. And if you think ill of someone, do not try to confirm your thoughts by discussing them with other people. Do not try to confirm your thoughts by discussing them with other people. Don't discuss people who have done wrong and evil with others at all. And so, Imam Al-Ghazali says, if you remove all of these elements entirely from one's inner self, it is not a necessary condition for being saved. It suffices that we know or we do not manifest these evil elements by acting in accordance to them. And a balanced character, Imam Al-Ghazali says, is what is really essential and what is meant by the expression khuluqun hasan. One who does not attain that lofty character, as mentioned in the hadith, through struggle, through hard work, through recognition of the areas in which one has been self-deluded. And then Imam Al-Ghazali continues, he says, all the negative qualities we have mentioned are produced by love of this world. And if a servant realizes that hereafter is better, hereafter is everlasting, then he would certainly prefer the hereafter over the life of this world. And such a realization is a fruit of this world. Such knowledge is what comprises the branches of faith. And then finally, the third provision for the journey is a gift that we take for the king. And so a traveler must be tied down by his or her... The third thing, the gift, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi says that a traveler to the hereafter should prepare to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a gift of faith. And this engenders love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we mean ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such recognition of Allah that overwhelms the servant completely and overtakes his entire heart. It is as if the servant actually sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is how much heart of love he has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that iman then becomes something vital to his heart, which becomes persistent and consistent to the extent that nothing comes to the servant's heart and mind except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither in deep-rooted thoughts nor in fleeting thoughts. If you have Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi says that a constant awareness and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent that not even a fleeting thought enters one's mind is the highest state of faith. That when you think of Allah, you think of Allah alone. When your whole day you just think of Allah, not even for a moment, not even by chance, does anything besides Allah cross your heart in thought. And he says the first and lowest level of faith is like believing that someone named Zaid is inside a house because one has been told so by a person you can trust. Second level of faith is to believe that Zaid is in the house because you hear the sound of his voice. The third level of faith is that you actually see this person, Zaid, who is in the house. And each level produces an increased amount of happiness and delight for the same servant as compared to the lower one before it. And these feelings cannot be precisely described. It can only be experienced with the heart. And those are the varying degrees of iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to the different branches of faith, they are numerous. The roots are three: belief in Allah, belief in Qiyamah, belief in the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And complete faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala includes beliefs in the attributes of Allah. Includes belief these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained in the Quran Kareem, and they are not combined with innovations, uncertainty, wavering or doubt. And we have to believe that Allah has perfect knowledge and absolute ability. That Allah Ta'ala's will is always realized and it is effectual. There's no exceptions to it. And we should affirm with certainty whatever one of the noble attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we can. And then we should believe in regards to the last day, that we would be recompensed in accordance to our actions, rewarded for obedience, punished for disobedience, and this is sufficient for us to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not obligatory upon us to to know more details with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how Allah ta'ala exists, what is the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was truthful in everything that he taught us. And if we believe this, even if we do not know the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in detail, other than what is necessary and obligatory, it is sufficient for us to have iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that. And this is what Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says, his preparation for death. Allah ta'ala grants success to those who seek to ready themselves for the journey ahead. And Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi then concludes the letter with the words, To Allah belongs success and protection. All praise is due to Allah in the beginning and the end. And may peace and blessings be upon the noble messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and companions. And this letter was completed by Allah's help and good favor. And may blessings to and may blessings be upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful letter, something that we can really benefit from and something that we can really implement in our lives. It's just gone now 2 minutes before 12, that was the letter on preparation for death, Risalat al-Sharh al-Sadr, translated into English. It is originally from Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. Shukran Jazeelan to my studio operator, Brother Ziyad. Shukran Jazeelan to you for listening. And from Junaid Jassat on this Thursday morning, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.